And Father, as we dive into your word this morning, I pray that you open it up to us again as we continue to look in the Psalms, Father, that the book would come alive for us. And I ask all this in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, if you take your Bibles this morning, or the ones in front there in the back of that pew in front of you, and turn to Psalm 119 as we can continue our summer of Psalms. And I'm in Psalm 119. And I'm going to be looking in at verses 89 to 96. So let's join with me and we'll go through those verses there and we'll go back. Verse 89, Psalm 119. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Your faithfulness continues throughout all generations. You establish the earth, and it stands. They stand this day according to your ordinances. For all things are your servants. If your law had not been my delight, then I would have perished in my affliction. I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have revived me. I am yours, save me. For I have sought your precepts. The wicked wait for me to destroy me. I shall diligently consider your testimonies. I have seen a limit to all perfection. Your commandment is exceedingly broad. And again, all of Psalm 119, all of it, 176 verses, and I think I can only find three that doesn't mention either as word precepts, laws, or statutes, or commandments. And here at Faith Bible Church, we have representatives of the Gideon International that are part of the church body. Bob Halverson, Bruce Dickey, Dave Marsh are part of that. And the sole purpose of Gideon International is really to distribute Bibles all over the world. And so what they do is they put Bibles in jails and in schools and in hotels and motel rooms and hospitals, anywhere where they receive permission to do that. And the representatives of Gideon International, they travel to other churches, and even ours gets a visit by the Gideons. And they come to share really the life-changing stories of people who have encountered the living God through the living Word and done through this organization. You know, I personally know of a man when we lived up at Priest Lake who was incarcerated for a couple years. And it was an old guy that was in the jail there, and he got a Bible in this man's hand, and it just transformed his life. You know, Dave Nelson shared a story a couple weeks ago at a men's breakfast, where a man, what he wanted was a Bible given to him while he was in that jail cell. So there's something about that. And so this morning is the question I rise is why. Why is the Bible so powerful? You know, it's still the best-selling book of all time. But why is it so powerful? And so this morning, I just want to share a few thoughts on really that question taken really from Psalm 119. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Your faithfulness continues throughout all generations. You establish the earth and it stands. They stand this day according to your ordinances, for all things are, no, I lost my place. For all things are your servants. You know, the Bible is so powerful because there is a permanence of the word. You know, forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. You know, we think about all the manuscripts that we have all around our world today, the manuscripts that are given by earthly man, the manuscripts of, we go to museums and libraries. You know, if you want to find the early manuscripts of Shakespeare, well, then you would go to the library in London. You know, that type of thing, or some manuscripts in the Smithsonian. But if we were to seek out the very first manuscript of God's Word, where would we find it? Well, it wouldn't be in some dusty old building someplace. It's going to be in heaven. There's never a time when the Word of God did not exist. You know, 1 John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. You know, before the sun, before the moon, before the stars were ever made, the Word was. It already existed. You know, before anything was brought into existence, there was the eternal Word. And there's not only was the Word present before anything was made, but the Word will remain, and it will remain everlasting, and it will remain after everything that we know of ceases. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away, Matthew 24:35. When we think about after science, after philosophy, after governments, after all the education, after all the gold and the big houses, after the almighty dollars have passed away, there still will be the precious living Word of the living God. And because God's Word is eternal in heaven, well, then it can be depended upon on earth. And you may say, well, wait a moment here, because you might be a little bit confused. You said the Bible's the Word of God, and then you say that the Word was God. Well, which is it? Well, the Bible is the Word because it has one central character in it, and that central character is Jesus Christ. You know, if we open our Bible anywhere, it reveals Jesus. In fact, I remember one Bible teacher said, you get to the point where you could open up the Bible, and on every page of the Bible, you should be able to find Christ in that page. And that's why Philip, when we read in Acts chapter 8, that Philip, he could take a portion of Isaiah, which the Ethiopian eunuch was reading at that time, and he could begin to preach Jesus Christ to him. And so the person of the Word is Jesus. And it's also the living Word because God has empowered it through the Holy Spirit to accomplish down to the very last detail His perfect will and His purpose. And the written Word, the Bible, it totally expresses the work of creation. His work of redemption, His work of salvation and glorification, which is all summed up in the word Jesus Christ, who is God. And it's because of this that Scripture, it's often used as the word interchangeably for the written Word of Christ. Your faithfulness, verse 90, continues throughout all generations. You establish the earth and in it stands. They stand this day according to your ordinances, for all things are your servant. You know, we've talked earlier, you know, David, he's on the run. He's hiding from Saul. But however, he kept thinking back to the promises that God would make him the king. And his confidence that's in God's promises, it was written hundreds of years before Christ. So the question is, can God be trusted to keep His promises today? Well, David writes for us there, God can be trusted throughout what? All generations. And to emphasize that truth, David, he ties it back to creation. You know, when you and I, when we walk out of this place and there's no air for us to breathe, then we can begin to doubt God's promises. When we look up and we don't see any more stars or sun or moon or anything like that, or the ground that's beneath our feet, if that's no longer there, or we walk out and we see all the beauty that's around us and it's not there, then we can say that God will not keep His promises. But until that thing happens, trust God. Because we have it. Verse 90 there, you establish the earth and it stands. You know, all of those things that operate around us, they operate at the pleasure of God, and they're His sign that His promises, that they're true, they're trustworthy. And another reason why the Bible is so powerful is because there's a preservation of the word. If your law has not been my delight, then I would have perished in my affliction. David, he's running from Saul, and what happens here is the word really becomes the anchor, that firmness for his soul. You know, I'll write out a sermon or a message here, and I do it in notes. I write it in notes. If I don't have my notes, I feel like I'm afraid I might get lost. It keeps me on track. It keeps me anchored. You know, God's word keeps us anchored in that. When you and I run into life's troubles, and we will, you know, there's going to be stormy seas that we're going to come, a metaphor that we're going to run into in life. We're going to. It's not a if, it's when. And what's the first thing that we should do? Well, we say pray. You know, take your problems to God. But after that, we tend to get a little bit confused. We look for answers in our circumstances, and we wait for our situation to change, or perhaps we're looking for some kind of sign or something, or I'm going to have some kind of a dream, and I hope that's not the case for any of us. But do you know where we should be looking for God's answers? It starts, the very starting place is in the Word. You know, and we always think of prayer as being this, it's a one-way conversation. And we tell God what's on our heart, and then that's it. But God wants us to have a two-way communication with Him. And most oftentimes, the answer to your prayer will come when He reveals the truth and direction and understanding to your circumstances, and you're going to find it through the written word. It's all there. And so when you pray, open up the Bible and let God speak to you. It's readily to us all the time. And it's through this means that He'll often sustain you in your difficulties. Why is that Bible so powerful? Well, because there is power in the Word. I will never, verse 93, I will never forget your precepts. For by them you have revived me. I am yours, save me, for I have sought your precepts. The wicked wait for me to destroy me. I shall diligently consider your testimonies. God, He spoke the world into existence. He spoke to Elijah in a whirlwind. He spoke from heaven at the baptism of His Son. You know, are you looking for God to reveal Himself to you in that kind of power today? And every time you pick up your Bible, that's the same kind of authority that speaks today in that. Hebrews 4:12, for the Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing as far as the divisions of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the man. You know, the Word is powerful. And we see here that it has power to do a few things. And one is to revive. I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have revived me, as Word says. You know, when a new believer comes to the Lord, when we tell new believers that, you know, we want them to get into the Word. Get into the Word because you will grow spiritually. That's what we tell them. However, what's true for that new believer is also true for the one who's been saved for a long time. The Word has the power to breathe life into your life. And so we should continually seek to be refilled with the truths of God. You know, we must always remember that the Word and the Spirit, they go together. And it's only through the Word does the Spirit renew us inwardly. And there's another sense that's given here for us that, and it's about the word revive, and we find it elsewhere in Scripture, and it's used here to mean the giving of life. And it's by God's word that we heard of eternal life in Jesus Christ. So, you know, Romans 10, 17. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. The word has the power to restore. I am yours, verse 94. I am yours, save me, for I have sought your precepts. Now, have you ever noticed that when people get out of fellowship with God, one of the first things that they do is they get out of fellowship with God's people. And what happens is they remove themselves from the place of hearing the word taught and preached. You know, someone said the word will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from the word. No truer statement that is that. Sin keeps many from the word when they most need it, and that is tragic. And when David's sin overwhelmed him, we find him seeking the word. And that becomes a lesson for each one of us. The word also has the power to restrain. 95. The wicked wait for me to destroy me. I shall consider your testimonies. You and I have an enemy who's always looking to destroy us. John 10:10. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. He's got one purpose. His name's Satan. He's the devil. He wants to set snares and traps, and what he does, he wants to destroy your testimony. He wants to destroy your family. He wants to destroy your joy. He wants to destroy your life, if that's possible. The word reassures us that we've been saved and that God will keep us, and he'll keep us through all the tribulation until the day we see his glory. And the reason the Bible is so powerful is because there's a perfection of the word. 96, verse 96 there. I have seen a limit to all perfection. Your commandment is exceedingly broad. The word of God, it is perfect. It is inerrant. It is infallible. Inerrant means it contains no errors in it. Infallible means it's incapable of error. The word of God, it contains no errors because the God of the word can make no errors. God is truth. Every word of the Bible is truth. Psalm 119, 160. The sum of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous ordinances is everlasting. It is all truth. You know, 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is God-breathed. What does all mean? Well, every bit of it. Inspired means God-breathed. When we say, use the word inspired, well, what about the human authors that we have? What about, didn't Mark and Peter and John and the Old Testament writers, didn't they all have a part in this? Well, 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 20 says, but know this, first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. So no one from his mind sat down and wrote the words of Scripture. Why? Well, verse 21 says, for no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. So David says there, the word is perfect. Secondly, the word, it's complete. You know, only the Bible gives us a total view of life, death, and eternity. You know, everything that we need to know is contained in the Bible. If we need to know something about relationships with God, well, we know that that's in the Bible. Relationships with Jesus Christ, it's in the Bible. How about a relationship to your spouse? Well, that's in the Bible. How about relationships with your friends? That's there too. And your children. Well, how do I need to know how to run a business? Well, that's in there too, believe it or not. You know, there's nothing that you come across that you're not going to encounter in life today that's not already directed for us in the Bible. It's there. It never becomes irrelevant. You know, that's one of those buzzwords I just despise. It never becomes outdated. It never becomes old-fashioned. It never becomes that it's behind the times. The settled truth of God, it is unchangeable. Well, what are some of those settled truths? Well, God's holiness, God's love, God's only way to salvation, and that's through His Son, Jesus Christ. Those are just a few. There's nothing that needs to be added to it. And God gave us all that we need to know. In fact, He warns us not to take anything away from it or add anything to the Word. We don't need dreams or visions to hear from God. You know, I have a website, and it's a thing that kind of keeps me up to date with some of the things that are happening in our world today when it comes to the case of the church. And it was talking about it. There's this church, and I can't remember what state it was in, but it's a large church, and they decided to create a Willy Wonka stage. The whole entire stage area of the church is mimicking down to the chocolate waterfall. Some of you are going, where's this at? I want to go. And the pastor guy's telling about all the stuff they put in this thing to create this Willy Wonka scene. And then he finishes by, and maybe we'll get the opportunity to tell him about Jesus. Well, he's got it all backwards. You know, and if that's the draw, there's a problem. It is all about Jesus. We don't need Willy Wonka to proclaim Jesus. Everything He has to say to us, we can hold in our hands. Praise God we live in a country where we can do that. It's right here in the book. And all that we need to do is read the words on the page. Absorb those words that are on the page. Obey the words that are on the page. And let the Spirit of God guide us in that. And so this morning we've looked at just some of the wonderful truths about the truth. And for you and I, the most important thing that we can know about the Word, and it's in the Word, and it's in John 20. John 20, verse 31. But these have been written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in His name. You know, the Word tells us that God became man. He lived a perfect life. And to that perfect life, to the cross of Calvary, He paid the sin debt, and He took it upon Himself, the wrath of God. And the wrath of God that should have been ours, He was and is our substitute. He was raised from the grave on the third day, defeated forever the power of sin, which is death, and He rose into heaven, thereby making a way for those who place their faith in Him to have eternal life. You know, if you're here this morning and don't know that eternal life, again, there's two places. There's heaven and there's hell. I don't wish my worst enemy to be in hell. You know, this week, you know, just the other day, my brother-in-law passed away, Billy. Some of you have been praying for Billy, and Billy passed away. I don't know if Billy ever came to a saving faith in Christ. He heard the Word, and it's sad, and it's tragic. You know, for him and his whole family. I don't wish him to be there. I don't wish anyone to be in hell. And so I would say, Don't wait. If the Lord is tugging at your heart, if you have not placed your trust in Him today, don't wait. Do so now. Father, we give You the praise, and we thank You for this word. Thank You for the Bible. We've got it. We can read it anytime we want. I pray that You would give a passion to every soul in this room, that every day they would have a desire to open it up and read it, see what it says. Father, I pray for every person in this room that You would strengthen them, that whatever challenge or trial or trouble they're going through, Lord, help them to find it in Your word. And so, Lord, we want to give You that praise. And again, if there's one person in this room that doesn't know You as the Savior, I pray that right now in this very moment they would say, Lord, I want to put my trust in You and change their life for all eternity. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.